Amen. You can be seated. I tell you, I love that song, Moving On. You know, I love the message in it. And the truth is, you can move on anytime you want to. I tell you, your past is just that. It's just your past. It doesn't have to dictate your future. It doesn't have to determine where you're going to be tomorrow. It doesn't have to determine what's going to happen in your life. And all you got to do to deal with your past is leave it alone and move on. Everybody say, move on. Now, I've been sharing with you about secret signals. Everybody say secret signals. And, I'm probably going to wrap this up today, but to be honest with you, it's really hard for me to wrap this up because there's just so many places that we could go in this thing. Now, understanding secret signals, I want you to realize why this is so important. You see, 7% of communication is verbal. 93% is nonverbal. And nonverbal communication is comprised of facial expressions, tonal inflections, body language, the clothes you wear. As a matter of fact, the average person can speak or does speak at about 200 words a minute. The average person listens at 800 words a minute. That means there is a 600 word per minute gap that person's brain is going to be doing something. And I tell you what their brain is going to be doing. Their brain is going to be, on an other than conscious level, analyzing all of the literally tens of thousands of bits of information per second that's flooding into the brain. Do you realize that just through your eyes you can take in thousands of bits of information per second? Just boom, boom, faster than you can think about it on a conscious level. And the incredible thing is most of the message that we are sending to people has little to do with the words that we're speaking. You know, now I believe that words are powerful, but we have looked at words in more of a magical sense than more of a scriptural sense. You know, speaking words don't just float around and mess you up just necessarily because you said something. I'll tell you why words are so powerful is because words are a reflection of what's in your heart. You see, what makes words have power is what's in your heart. But in communication, you can have damaging words, but the real truth is you can be intending to communicate something and it just not go right. Have you ever felt like you were just trying to express something to somebody and it just wasn't going right? Or like the scripture we said, the scripture says that with our mouth, with our lips, and you could even say just with our actions, it says we invite a beating. When is the last time you stood up and said, hey, would somebody come over and just make my life really hard? I need somebody to make me miserable. You say, oh no, I'd never do that. It's sort of like a husband and wife that comes in for counseling, and the wife, and when they first come in, it's all focused on the wife, and the husband just talking about how she nags all the time and she's got an anger problem and she's feeling all condemned because, I don't know why I came this way. I loved him so much. But, as you counsel and talk to him a little while, you realize that at some point in their marriage, he said, if you want to get anything out of me, you're going to have to nag and throw fits. You say, oh, no, nobody would say that to their wife. Oh, yeah, men do it all the time. Just like women do it all the time. No, I've never said to my wife, nag and throw a fit. Oh, you might have. Because, you see, if that's what it took to get you to respond to a reasonable request, then over a period of time, you conditioned them and you said to them, the only way to get a response out of me is pressure, negative communication, throwing fits. So we talked about conditioning people. We talked about the nonverbal communication. We talked about what we convey to other people. But I tell you, today we're going to get to the heart of it all because I want to share with you about the heart code. Everybody say the heart code. Proverbs 4:23 says this. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Now, on one level, we understand that to mean, and it does mean, that your life is going to go where your heart is. And try as you may momentarily rise above the level of your heart. You may momentarily sink beneath the level of your heart. But in the end, you're always going to find yourself on a course that's based on your heart. Well, say, well, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means basically this. See, the heart is stores the information about how you see yourself. And the truth is, however you see yourself, it's where your heart is going to take you. It's going to take you to a place to live out what you see and believe about yourself. But there's another part of this that I believe. I believe that the issues of our heart flow out of us, not only to guide our life, but they just flow out of us and touch the world around us. We have a book in the bookstore called The Heart Code by Dr. Pearsall, I believe it is. And in some of the latest cutting-edge medical technology, they have discovered that, first of all, that, you know, when you put that electrode on you to get to your EKG, there's no reason to think that that signal stops at your skin. Truth is, that signal actually radiates for 20 or 30 feet around you, and every individual has a heart code that is as individual as their fingerprint. And out of our heart, who we really are and how we really feel about ourselves is continually flowing out of our heart. Listen to this. Proverbs 12:8 says this. It says, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom. Now listen to this, but this is the key part. But he that is of a perverse heart or crooked heart shall be despised. Well, why would people despise us if we had a crooked heart? How would they know? They can't see my heart. Well, of course, they can see some of the actions that come out of our heart, but I'm going to tell you something. Our heart is constantly emitting unspoken words to the world around us. We are continually touching the world around us with our heart. And I'm going to tell you something. There are things that people can sense about us before we ever say a single word. Just like there's things that we can sense about other people. You know, here's an interesting question I get presented to me a lot. And I was asked this question just recently, you know, in Europe. And the question was this. How is it that you come into a situation and be so different and be so out of the box, and you go in and you connect with people? Basically, when I go into other pastors' churches, that's the one thing that they say. They say, man, we've never had anybody that comes in and connects with our congregation as easily and as quickly as you do. And what's funny is, usually when I first come, the first time, they're sitting there just on the front row going, oh, God, please don't let this, because they're scared to death about what's going to happen because I'm different. And and then they're surprised when just, you know, in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, suddenly the people are with me and we're connected and they're feeling safe and they're walking up and telling me things about their life that they've never told their pastor or ever told anybody. And I have pastors ask me all the time, why does that happen? And I'll tell you why it happens. You see, we're all sending out a heart code. And if you have no agendas other than to serve people, and if you're not there to take and use people on a non-verbal level, they feel safe with you. But if you're there to use and take and all this kind of stuff, people put their walls up, you see. People put their barriers up. Now, it's an incredible thing to think that somebody can actually reach down into our heart, so to speak, and maybe they can't know it on an intellectual level, but have this sense about who we really are. You see, I believe that this is the greatest part of the secret signals that we send. What's really, really true in our heart. Now, you know, I'm using a lot of this information for our heart physics. And next fall, we're going to be introducing a program that actually I've been in the development of for about 10 years. It's a program called Heart Physics, and we're going to go up to Branson and have a big kickoff for this thing, and hopefully it's going to be tied to. I didn't share this with you, but we made some real progress on our infomercial that we're going to be working on. Maybe I'll remember to share this with you at the end of the service. But we want to reach into this nation in a way that people have never done, using methods that other people have never used, to cross the line and to connect with people, and we're doing it through this Heart Physics program. So in order to get in this thing, I'm having to study physics. Let me tell you something. I don't even like using a calculator. Math is not my strong suit. Much less physics. I remember algebra was one of the main reasons I quit school. But you know, there's an incredible thing. Physics has changed drastically You know, Newtonian physics said that we lived in a material world, and really from the time of Newton until now, scientists have sought to find the material essence from which the world was created. And really they had an agenda in doing that, because if in fact they could ever prove that there was a material essence that the world was made of, then we could define this as a material world, not a spiritual world, and really we could eliminate the possibility of a living God creating the world. But see, there's a problem. When you begin to reach the atomic and the subatomic levels, suddenly you start realizing what is beyond the mind's ability to comprehend, and that is, there is no matter. You say, well, sure there's matter. What do you call this stuff? You might be surprised to find out what that stuff is. When scientists go as far as they can go, you know, you get a bigger microscope, a bigger microscope, a bigger microscope. What's interesting is when they get down to the smallest elements that we can see right now at this time, if you look at it one way, it's a wave. If you look at it another way, it's a particle. Just according to when you look at it, according to how you look at it, according to where you're standing when you look at it. But here's the biggest mystery, is this basic matter comes and goes from nowhere, and nobody can understand how or why. Except for one thing, with the advent of quantum physics, they've come to understand this. And that is that this world cannot exist apart from intelligent life. If we were to all die, the universe would implode. Because what they've discovered is, in fact, that this is an energetic world, and that everything in the world, everything really in the universe is connected. And I like what one of the early pioneers of quantum physics said. He said, we are not observing the world around us. We are, in fact, in an interplay with the world. And how we view the world creates the world around us that we live in. Now, when you begin to realize that the world around us functions based largely on our perceptions and our beliefs, I'll tell you, it starts changing the way everything looks. But here's the most incredible thing. If this world can't exist apart from intelligent life, that means it could have only come into existence from intelligent life. And there's never been a credible scientist yet that studied this out that did not clearly reach the conclusion that this world was created by an intelligent God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But when they begin to look at the universe, it's almost like the whole universe is a big spider web, you know? Everything is connected to everything. And on some level, what we do is just little particle specks of human beings down here on planet Earth somehow affects everything else in the universe. I'll tell you, when God talked about us being one with each other, he probably meant something far, far, far greater than we could ever imagine. But you see, what that tells me is that what I believe and the beliefs of my heart and has this capacity to touch the world around me and to say things about me that words are never ever going to say. I start realizing that even if I act right on the outside, even if I do right on the outside, I'm still going to send a signal to the world around me that's going to make it go in the direction, or at least my world, that I see myself. Now, I'm going to give you one of my heart physics secrets. You know, when you begin to look at the world this way, and you begin to look at what Jesus taught us about the heart, what Solomon, the wisest man in the world, taught us in the heart, you start realizing that really, you know, if in fact you get down to the basic essence from which all things are created, if in fact it's a wave form, then it's energetic, like much like an electromagnetic field. Well, you know, here's one thing you start realizing about electromagnetic field, and that is it attracts things. Now, I believe this as deeply as I believe anything. I believe that through the beliefs of my heart, I am attracting to me the things that will verify those beliefs, whether good or bad, whether destructive or life-giving, whether destroying or building. The beliefs of my heart, they not only affect my actions so that I keep going. You know, if I have a bad self-image, I'm going to keep going in a destructive way. But you know what? I'm going to attract destructive people to me. You know, you've heard me tell the story about my grandmother. My grandmother, it seemed like her goal in life was to make me believe that I wasn't loved. And she'd tell me, she'd say, you know, your mother doesn't love you. Your father doesn't love you. Nobody loves you. And so you grow up believing that you're not loved. You grow up feeling that you're unlovable. And I'll tell you what will happen. Just seemingly, mysteriously, you will attract to you people and relationships that are totally incapable of genuine love. And it verifies your false beliefs about yourself. So I'm going to tell you, when the Bible tells you that you need to renew your mind, man, it means that you need to renew your mind. Because renewing your mind is the first step in writing something new on your heart about who you are in Jesus. And renewing your mind is where you do whatever it takes to where the only way you see yourself, the only way you feel about yourself is how God sees you and how God feels about you. You know, we shouldn't have any thought about ourselves that is inconsistent with what God says about us. And if you capture a thought, you know, if a thought emerges about you that's inconsistent with what God says about you, you need to immediately stop that thought, and you need to immediately begin to say what the Word of God says about you. No, I am an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror, you know. May not feel like it, may not look like it, but I am, and it's going to come out of me. And I'm going to tell you, when you come to the place where you see it in your heart, when you come to the place where that is the reality that you sense, and when you come to the place where it changes the way you see yourself, you know you've touched your heart. You know you now believe the truth in your heart. I want to tell you something. We've been taught to go out and seek, you know, these things that we want in life. We've been taught to go out and, you know, build it and make it. Well, you know, you can do that. You can take principles of God and do that. And you can have what I call moderate success. See, the moderately successful person goes out and conquers and succeeds through their efforts. But you know, that's still the sweat of your brow. I believe that the ultimately successful person is the person that realizes that what I want to do, instead of trying to bring about all these changes out here on the outside, I just need to really focus first and foremost on the inside. Because, see, if I believe the truth about who I am in Jesus, I can effortlessly attract to me those things that I desire. And I don't have to go labor for them. I don't have to go chase them. I don't have to make my life an attempt to get all this stuff. You see, we think external. Really, we do. And as much as the church talks about faith, we don't believe in faith. We say we do. We talk a good game, but we don't. Because when you go talk to somebody that's all about how much faith and how you got to use faith, first thing you do when they start trying to solve a problem is they start saying, this is what you got to do. Is what you got to do. And it's always something out here on the outside. You know something? You can take a guy down here that's stealing watermelons out of a boxcar, and you can dress him up and get him an education and get him a lot smarter and put him in a new suit, and he'll stop stealing the watermelons and start stealing the boxcars. You can get the right things happening on the outside, but what's going on in here? See? How are you feeling about you? How you feeling about life? How you feeling about you and God? And we talked about this a few weeks ago. We talked about this in my book, Breaking the Cycle. How that the greatest changes don't happen on the macrocosmic level. The greatest change happened at the quantum level. You know, there was a time when if you wanted to blow something up, you just got a bigger bomb. And if that bomb wouldn't blow it up, you just got a bigger bomb. And you got a bigger bomb, you know, and you got a bigger bomb. And somewhere along the way, scientists said, well, wait a minute, instead of going out here to just getting bigger and bigger and all external, how about let's go to the interior? Let's see what happens on the inside. And they started going to the smallest element. And they got down to splitting an atom. Now, I've never seen an atom. Anybody here ever seen an atom? I've never seen an atom. Not one. Seen a few Adam's apples. And I'll tell you, more now than used to, you see women with Adam's apples. But that's another story altogether. So, never seen an atom, but you know what? There's something so small that I can't see it. So seemingly insignificant that I can't touch it, I can't feel it, I can't get a hold of it to wipe out this city and cities for miles around. You see, the power is when you bring it down to the smallest part, not when you take everything out to the biggest part. The real power of life is when you get down to what am I going to do about the beliefs of my heart? What am I going to do about how I see myself? And coming to church, you know, coming to church is a good thing, but it's not going to help you much if you just come and hear it and walk away. What are you going to do with this stuff? What is it that you're going to do? See, ultimately, we come down to this. If this is true, and we just kicked off our master's program, and it's just in the very infant stages, and Ted is taking the master's program, and he came and he said, man, he said, you know, I was reading one of the books for the required reading for the first course, and he said, you know, and one of my kids was having trouble in school making bad grades in a particular subject. He said, you know, I went out and immediately did one of these exercises, and immediately his grades changed. I said, Ted, you just learned one of the first secrets of the master's program. You know, when you get a bachelor's degree, the emphasis is still somewhat on the teacher teaching you. But at graduate level, it's all about the student assuming the responsibility to learn it and to master it. And see, truth is like that. You know, you can spend your life being a student that just sits around and listens and gathers more and more information. And I'll tell you what that information would be to you. It will be like trying to swim across an ocean dragging an anchor behind you. Information that you do not put into practice does not help you, and it in fact causes you more problems. Jesus says, if you put these words into practice, you'll be my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So the question is, if this is true, if life could be so simple that believing the truth about you in your heart, you and Jesus, who you are in Jesus, if believing that truth really could attract to you everything you need in life, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? So many times, I'll get ready to, I say, I'm going to read this book and try to solve something. God said, you don't need to read a book, you just need to do what you know. It's like, well, I want to read this book. And God's like, no, you want an excuse. You read the book if you want to, but just go ahead and do what you know. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do to write the truth about who we are on our hearts? So that's how we think. That's how we feel. That's what we're empowered to do. That's what we attract to us. Well, you know, you can, of course, first and foremost, you got to know the Word of God. You got to fill your heart with the Word of God. But reading the Word of God, you know, you can megaverse your brain out and nothing's going to happen. You want to read the Word of God like it's a love letter from the person who loves you more than anybody in the whole world, because you know what? It is. Yet you want to read the Word of God like it's full of nuggets of truth, because it is. You want to read the Word of God realizing that within its pages, if you'll take off your religious mindset and your religious glasses, that within those pages and within those words, you're going to find what pertains to life. God says, keep them before your eyes. Keep them in your mouth. Fill your heart up with them. So, read the Word of God. Pray and confess and meditate on the Word, you know. But the thing is, are you just going to pray just to, are you just going to pray to, you know, pay payments on your fire insurance? You know, are you just going to pray just to get by and try to keep God happy? Are you going to pray in a way that you emotionally connect with God? Are you going to pray? And you got to figure out how that works for you. It's a little bit different for everybody. But are you going to pray in a way that you connect with God just like you would try to connect with somebody else that you loved and you wanted to have time with and you want to be with and you want to feel their love and you wanted it all to be good? You see, because that's what a relationship does. That's really what prayer is. Prayer is that place of intimacy with God. And the thing is you want to connect with God on this incredibly intimate level. And you want to meditate on the truth. Everybody say, meditate on the truth. Meditate on the truth until it's the only thing you know. Meditate on the truth until it's the only thing you see. Meditate on the truth until it's the only thing that you feel. Meditate on the truth until it's your reality. See, we all meditate. Everybody meditates. We meditate on who offended us when we were kids. We meditate on what our parents did wrong to us. We meditate on the last person that said an unkind word to us. We sit around and we ponder that stuff until it changes how we feel and even how we see ourselves. Well, you know what? You can do that with the Word of God. And suddenly everything about you and God is alive. Suddenly everything about you and truth is alive. Suddenly everything that you've ever wanted to have happen in your life, you've got that sense of it happening. And you know, here's the incredible thing. When it's alive in your heart, even if it's not happening right at this moment, you have patience. You're not worried because it's as real to you at that moment as it's ever going to be. When something gets real in your heart, it's as real as it's ever going to be. It's not even going to be any more real when you have it happen tangibly. It's never going to be any more real than it is when it gets real in your heart. So, just think about what might happen if in your communication with people and if in your involvement with people, if suddenly you were approaching them and your heart was just full of value for them as a person. Your heart was just full of love for them as a person. And you had no secret hidden agendas and you weren't there to take and you weren't there to use. Imagine how it could connect you with the people around you. How it could connect you with the people in your world. Imagine what would change just in the way the interaction between you and your kids, you and your spouse, you and your friends, you and your boss, you and the people you want to witness to and the people you want to help. So I want to tell you something. When your heart is clear, clear of self-centered motives, clear of all this stuff, I'll tell you something. Not only do you attract to you those things that are consistent with how you see yourself, but I'll tell you something else incredible. It's when you have no hidden agendas and your heart's not cluttered by all of these other motives, you can very easily sense when you are around people that want to use you, that want to take advantage of you. And suddenly life gets really easy. Life gets really safe. Stand up on your feet with me if you would, please. Secret signals. What am I really saying? Well, more than anything else, you're saying whatever it is that you really believe in your heart about you. Bow your heads with me if you would. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to just do a little experiment. Just for a minute, I want you to see yourself. You know, every service I have us, we're up here, we're confessing scriptures about being righteous. We're confessing all of these scriptures at the Word of God. I want you to close your eyes, and just for a minute, I want you to think about what would it really be like and what would I really look like if I really, really, really saw myself righteous. How would I look? What would it look like? If I really was prosperous, what would it look like? What would my world look like? Just close your eyes and see if you can see this. What do you know what you would look like? When you think about success, when you think about prosperity, when you think about happiness, when you think about being in love, does the absolute sense of confidence and peace flood your heart? Or do negative feelings and fear and worries and concerns and trepidation flood in on you, and you realize that those words that should just create an incredibly clear image of you living your dreams are words that inspire negative emotions, inspire fear.